quickly, murmured Pendergast. He's heading deeper into the mire. They swung around below the rim of the quarry, keeping out of sight, until they had lined up the stag with a small tor. Turning, they approached the animal, using the hummock as cover. The edges of the mire, after the long summer, had firmed up, and they moved quickly and silently, the soft hillocks of grass acting as stepping stones. They came up in the lee of the hill, then hunkered down behind it. The wind was still in their favor, and they heard the stag roar again, a sign he was unaware of their presence. Pendergast shivered. The end of the roar sounded uncannily like that of a lion. Motioning Esterhazy to remain behind, he crept up to the hill's edge, cautiously peering through a tumble of boulders. The stag stood 1,000 yards off, nose in the air, moving restlessly. He shook his mane again, the polished antlers gleaming. He raised his head and roared once again. 13 points, at least 500 inches of antler. Strange that this late in the rutting season he had not accumulated a sizable harem. Some stags, it seemed, were just born loners. They were still too distant for a reliable shot. A good shot wasn't good enough. One could never chance wounding an animal of this caliber. It had to be a certain kill. He crept back down the side of the hill and rejoined Esterhazy. He's 1,000 yards off. Too far. That's exactly what I was afraid of. He is awfully sure of himself, said Pendergast. Since nobody hunts in the foul mire, he's not as alert as he should be. The wind's in our faces. He's moving away from us. I think we can chance an open stalk. Esterhazy shook his head. There's some treacherous-looking ground ahead. Pendergast pointed to a sandy area adjacent to their hiding spot, where the track of the stag could be seen. We'll follow his track. If anyone knows the way through the mire, he does. Esterhazy held out a palm. Lead the way. They unshipped their rifles and crept out from behind the tor, moving toward the stag. The animal was indeed distracted, focused on scenting the air coming from the north, paying little attention to what lay behind him. His snuffling and roaring covered the sounds of their approach. They advanced with the utmost care, pausing whenever the animal hesitated or turned. Slowly, they began to overtake him. The stag continued to ramble deeper into the mire, apparently following an airborne scent. They continued in utter silence, unable to speak, keeping low, their highland camouflage perfectly adapted to the moorland environment. The trail of the stag followed almost invisible rivels of firmer ground, the path snaking among treacly pools, shivering morass, and grassy flats. Whether from the untrustworthy ground, the hunt, or some other reason, the tension in the air seemed to increase. Gradually, they moved into shooting range, 300 yards. The stag paused yet again, turning sideways, nosing the air. With the faintest of hand gestures, Pendergast indicated a halt and carefully sank into a prone position. Pulling his H&H 300 forward, he fitted the scope to his eye and carefully aimed the rifle. Esterhazy remained 10 yards behind, crouching as motionless as a rock. Peering through the scope, Pendergast settled the crosshairs on a spot just forward the shoulder of the animal, took a breath and began to squeeze the trigger. As he did so, he felt the cold touch of steel against the back of his head. "Sorry, old boy," said Esterhazy. "Hold your rifle out with one hand and lay it down, slow and easy." Pendergast laid down the rifle. "Stand up, slowly." Pendergast complied. Esterhazy backed away, covering the FBI agent with his hunting rifle. He suddenly laughed, the harsh sound echoing over the moorlands. Out of the corner of his eye, Pendergast saw the stag startle and bound away, disappearing into the mists. "I had hoped it wouldn't come to this," said Esterhazy. "After 12 years, It's a bloody tragedy you didn't leave well enough alone. Pendergast said nothing. You're probably wondering what this is all about. In fact, I am not, said Pendergast, his voice flat. I'm the man you've been looking for, the unknown man at Project Aves, the one Charles Slade refused to name for you. No reaction. I'd give you a fuller explanation, but what's the point? I'm sorry to do this. You realize it's nothing personal. Still no reaction. Say your prayers, brother. Esterhazy raised the rifle, aimed, and pulled the trigger. Chapter 2. A faint click sounded in the damp air. Christ, Esterhazy said through clenched teeth, shooting open the bolt, ejecting the bad round, and slamming a new one in place. Click. In a flash, Pendergast leapt to his feet, scooping up his rifle and leveling it at Esterhazy. Your not-so-clever stratagem failed. I've suspected it since your ham-handed letter asking which firearms I'd be bringing with me. I'm afraid the ammunition in your rifle is doctored. And so the thing goes full circle, from the blanks you put in Helen's rifle to the blanks now in your own. Esterhazy kept working the bolt, frantically ejecting the bad rounds with one hand while delving into his musette bag with another, scooping out fresh rounds. Stop or I'll kill you, said Pendergast. Ignoring him, Esterhazy ejected the last round and rammed a fresh one into the receiver, then slammed the bolt into place. Very well. This one's for Helen. Pendergast pulled the trigger. A dull thunk sounded. Instantly realizing the situation, Pendergast threw himself back, diving for cover behind an outcropping of rock as Esterhazy fired. The live shot ricocheted off the outcropping, spraying chips. Pendergast rolled farther behind cover, ditching his rifle and pulling out the Colt 32 he had brought as a backup. He rose, aimed, and fired. But Esterhazy had already taken cover himself around the other side of the small hill, and his return fire smacked into the rocks just in front of Pendergast. Now they were both behind cover on either side of the tor. Esterhazy's laugh once again cut across the land. Looks like your not-so-clever stratagem has also failed. Did you think I'd let you out here with a working rifle? Sorry, old boy. I removed the firing pin. Pendergast lay on his side, hugging the rock, breathing hard. It was a standoff. They were on either side of the same small hill.